Okay, it's good to see all of you tonight. Like we said, this is going to be our last study on the armor of God. And it has really been good and to me. For me, it has really been good. I've learned a lot. I have found out I need to be more like Jesus. And we're going to try to cover several things tonight. We're in Ephesians 16. Got a lot of new people in here. Ephesians 16. Ephesians 6. When I said that, I knew that sounded wrong, and Lisa had this strange look on her face.
That's normal.
Yeah. 6:17. And we're not omitting prayer. It's just that we have our prayer out there because prayer is very important. We're going to find that out at the very end of where we're at today. I'm going to read the whole verse of 17, even though we only have the last part of it, and take the helmet of salvation, which we did last week, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Tonight we're going to talk about, we're still talking about the armor. Do you realize this is the only weapon that we've talked about? Everything else was defensive, things that we can put on and wear. Except for the shield of faith. We held it up in front of us. But this is the only weapon that's mentioned. And it's a weapon that belongs to and is wielded by the Holy Spirit. We talked about Roman soldiers and we're comparing the armor. And I have a tendency to get away from that armor because it's just a typology. But any soldier, whether it be the Roman soldiers or whether it be soldiers today, they just don't come in. You don't come in and say, well, I want to join this branch of the military. And they say, okay, here's your weapon. Go find an enemy and fight them. Doesn't happen that way. They have to be trained. They have to be trained to recognize their enemy. They have to be trained on how to use their weapons. And Christians are the same way. You know, we've talked about identifying our enemy in the past. But this sword that we're going to talk about tonight, we need to learn how to, we need to train our minds, train our bodies, to learn how to properly use the sword that we're talking about tonight. In verse 17, it says, take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. The Word of God is our weapon against the warfare that we're in. The sword that Paul is referring to is the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. I'm not going to make y'all search through these unless you just want to go to them real quick because I've got several I want to cover. We're talking about our sword. 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, which we've talked about, that the man or woman of God may be perfect or mature and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. As soon as you become a Christian, as soon as you accept Christ as your Savior, a battle starts. You enter into a warfare that you did not choose, and to be, I hate to use these terms to say perfectly honest or to be honest because that's an implication that sometimes you're not, but I guess to do the full comprehension of it, you would be fearful when you first get saved if you knew everything that you're going to face and everything that Satan's going to throw at you. You'd be real fearful, and that's why we have to grow in grace as we get there. But seeing that we're in this warfare, and that is a fierce warfare, we have got to know how to handle the Word of God. And all of the other things that we've been talking about, those have been defensive. How we defend against this. How we defend against Satan. Well, the sword is a weapon. And it is defensive. It is to protect, but it's also to be on the offense. 2 Corinthians 10:4-5. This is the one that I had written down last week, but failed to put it where I needed it to be. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, are not physical. But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Remember, we talked about strongholds last week. A stronghold is when, like we talked about, you can have a thought go through your mind that's not a godly thought, maybe not what you would consider. A lot of people's amazed how we consider a really sinful thought. I guess really bad thought. But sometimes thoughts are, you'll think, well, they're not so bad, but you might just be thinking, well, look at her. Who does she think she is? Whether that's a coworker or whether that's somebody else. But sometimes you'll have these thoughts that come through there that they seem out. But if they're not a thought that's based on God and on a Christian in a way a Christian should think, you need to check up. You need to, because the rest of this verse I'm going to say, casting down imaginations. Okay, what's another scripture about imaginations? I was hoping somebody would just spout this right off.
That the imagination of man was evil continually.
Good, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Because this just says casting down imaginations. Well, sometimes I imagine that I'm real thin and don't have wrinkles. That's not so bad. That'd be really good. But when I saw that, you know, it doesn't really go into detail. But that goes to show she knows the scripture. Because casting down imaginations. And our imaginations within our human, within our flesh, they're going to be on evil. They're going to be on, and people say, well, I'm not evil. If it's not godly, then what is it? Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Who tried to exalt themselves? As high as God. Lucifer at the time, but became Satan. And then the next part here says, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Why are we having to bring those thoughts into captivity? Because Satan was cast down. Because he couldn't defeat God. So what can he do? He comes down here. And you know somebody, this just popped into my mind. I was listening to a preacher on television the other day. And I'm careful about which ones I listen to. But this one was given an excellent talk. And it kind of fit in. He says, why does Satan hate us so? Why does he fight us so? And from there he went to this lady, her boyfriend breaks up with her. Oh, and she's so angry at him. She can't stand him. She can't think the thought of him. So what does she do? The picture that she has that takes the picture down, and she just rips the pictures, every picture of him up. Because he was the image of someone that had hurt her. Who are we made in the image of? We're in the image of God. And he hates us for that cause. Every time he sees a Christian, he thinks that's one of God's, and he wants to get him. He doesn't bother the lost people that much. They're under his spell, and he continues to, as long as they don't want to go to God or talk about church, I'm going to leave them alone for a while. But there's a lady over here on her knees praying. I got to spend some time on her. Okay. God refers to his word as a sword. It's not just something out there, but God refers to his word as a sword. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick. Does that mean they real fast when they sling it? When you hear the word quick in scripture, if someone's quickening, and they're quick, alive. So you could very easily read this scripture that says, for the word of God is alive, and it's powerful, and sharper, not like a two-edged sword, but sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. A sword with two edges, it's easier to penetrate. If you were going to hurt somebody, a two-edged sword, it can penetrate that flesh very quickly, and it can cut either way. This verse speaks of piercing or penetrating. What does the Word of God do? It penetrates. It pierces our heart. It even talks about when the disciples says he pricked their hearts. It pierces our heart. It reaches the very center of who we are. And this is the thing that is a little mind-blowing. And it reveals the motives and the feelings of our heart. He's basically cutting it out and revealing it to you. The purpose of the sword of the Spirit or the Bible is to make us strong and able to do what? Withstand the evil onslaughts of Satan, who is our enemy. How do we do this? How do we do this? I want you to now look in your Bibles at this, at Psalms 119. There's some verses in here that really tells us how we can enter into the battle with Satan. Psalms 119:11, I bet you don't even have to really have it open to look at that, but it says, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." If you've got the word in your heart, it helps you. We're going to stay in Psalms 119. Go down to verse 33. "Teach me, O Lord, the way of thy statutes, and I shall keep it unto the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep thy law. Yea, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight. Incline my heart unto thy testimonies and not to covetousness. Turn away my eyes from beholding vanity," or things that are useless, or things that have no goal, no purpose. They're here today, gone tomorrow. "And quicken thou me," or "make me alive in your way. Establish thy word unto thy servant," which would be the person praying this prayer, "who is devoted to thy fear." That's not a fear of him, is afraid of him. That is to the awesomeness, to the glory that you have. "Turn away my reproach, which I fear, for thy judgments are good. Behold, I have longed after thy precepts. Quicken me in thy righteousness." Now go down to verse 99. We've done a lot of studying. We've grown in the word. From where we went there, now we have grown in the word. Verse 99. "I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients, because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way, that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Can we say that? Can we in our hearts say that? If we paraphrased it, I'm wiser than my teachers because I study your word. I understand more than the people that are older than me because I obey your instructions. I guarantee you there's a lot of these younger people that know more than me if they've spent more time in the word of God. You're my teacher. So whatever you tell me to do or whatever you decide's right for me, I'm going to do it. Your words are sweet. They taste like honey. I gain understanding through your instructions. And because of that, I hate anything evil that's set before my eyes. Can we pray that God will enlighten our eyes and get us so that we can detect evil and hate it and not even have anything to do with it? I'm not talking about people. Don't get me wrong. I just say, hey, but evil. Your word. It's like a light that lights up. If you ever been in a dark place on a plane, which I hate planes, but they have those lights that come on. And a lot of places, it sure is a lot easier to take your steps when there's a light that guides you and makes you walk the right way. The Holy Spirit uses the sword, the word of God, to convict souls that they might be saved. And then once they're saved, he will help them gain the spiritual instinct or strength that they have to mature into warriors for the Lord. Now, when somebody first gets saved, I told you they enter into a battle, but I don't think God lets them go right out into the main battle. Because as you grow, Satan attacks a little harder and a little harder and a little harder. Let's say somebody's been saved a long time, but they don't really care to read the Bible. They know they're saved, and they don't really work on growing. Well, Satan's attacks may come a little fiercer because you've been in the way longer. But if you're not ready to, if you're not mature enough and you haven't learned enough to stand that, it's going to be real difficult. And there's a lot of Christians, I'm going to call them saved people, a lot of people have gotten saved, and when troubles and trials come their way, they'll say, where was God when this happened? Why should I trust in him? He wasn't there when I needed him. So they fall away. So growing in the Lord is something that we have to do. The more we know and understand the Word of God, the more useful it'll be in helping us to do his will and be more effective in standing against the enemy of our souls. Okay, so that's all I'm going to say pretty much about the sword, because I wanted to talk about the final thing. Now, what have we covered? What did we put on first? Truth. We first put on truth, then we put on righteousness, then we put on our shoes, then we got our shield, and then we got our helmet, we have our sword. That'll leave anything out? Okay. The full armor of the Lord. Think about what all we've talked about, and we should be able to see a picture. Now, a lot of times when you see the armor of the Lord, you'll see that soldier and all this stuff on him. Since we've done this, what should our picture be? Our picture, if we've gone through this right, and if we've looked at all these attributes, we should see the Lord Jesus Christ. We should see him in his glory. We should see him in who he is. Scripture, number one, the belt. Christ is the truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's our righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he, God, hath made him, Jesus, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He's our truth, he's our righteousness, he's our peace. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. We can claim that scripture, but that scripture is the Gentile and the Jew coming together, partition torn down between them, and they're just the church, part of Christ's church. His faithfulness has made possible our faith. So we've got truth, righteousness, peace, and faith. Galatians 2:28, I love this scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not me. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I'm not the one living. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If I was living by my own deeds and by the natural person that I am, there would have been no reason for God not to have killed me a long time ago. But with his spirit in me, I pray that every day as I live, the choices I make are not my choices, but they're God's. The person that I try to be is not who naturally I would be, but it would be Jesus Christ living in me. Okay. He is our salvation, like our helmet of salvation. Luke 2:30. I'm not going to read that whole scripture. That's the one scripture, and it just says, for my eyes have seen thy salvation. Luke 2 is talking about Simeon. He was in the temple, and God had promised him, you'll not see death until you've seen your salvation. They brought that little baby in, let him hold him. And that's when he said, for my eyes have seen my salvation. And then we have the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, John 1:1. Anybody want to quote it? In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was. And then it goes on down to verse 14. God, do that real, Tracy. Read verse 14. I know it, but I'll misquote it, I'm sure. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us.
And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
Amen. So, all of these attributes, and the scripture has backed it up, that that armor of God that we're to put on is Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ. What energizes our armor? If you're in Ephesians 6, drop on down to verse 18. Remember how I talked at the first that a lot of people don't recognize this as part of the armor? But I think it's one of the main parts because this needs to be energized. Verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplications in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Okay. Did you know that there's more than one kind of prayer? Four kinds of prayer, and it's mentioned in some of these scriptures here. We have prayer, just prayer. Then we have supplications. Then we have intercession. And then we have thanksgiving. I wrote all in my Bible too. Praying. If you're just going to say a prayer, you might as well, you could use it asking for a favor. Has anybody ever said, oh, I want to think something stupid. You applied for a job and you said, oh, I pray that I get that job. And you haven't prayed? We use that term a lot. You know, oh, I pray so-and-so. But then you can just pray. A lot of times before I eat my meal, I pray, Lord, I thank you for this food. I pray that you're blessed to nourish my body. And if I'm eating a McDonald's hamburger, I mean, well, really, you know, because we'll pray, bless this to the nourish of my body. And to me, that's just, you're supposed to say something before you eat something. And so that's what you say. Sometimes we go to Dairy Queen and we pray over it. And I will not say, I say, thank you for this treat. It is really good. But, I mean, sometimes we pray, but I don't think we are really sincerely talking to God. We're doing something that...
ritual.
That it is. It's a tradition. And, you know, and that's good. We need to do that. We need to be thankful for everything that we have. And even sometimes at night, man, you haven't prayed, you've had a rough day, you haven't spent a lot of time. I mean, I've done this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray, dear Lord, my soul, you'll keep. And I do, that's just something to do, but I mean it. If I die in my sleep, you know, yeah, I want to be in heaven. Or if the rapture takes place. But am I sincere and is it with a deep heart? No, it's because I just need to say something to God right before I drift off to sleep if I haven't had a good time in prayer. Okay, supplication. Now, supplication is praying, but it's with an intensity. And it's humble, and it's repentant, and it's earnest, and it's worshipful. When you make supplication, you don't just say, thank you for this day, I'm glad for it, and You really are praying. You're pouring your heart out. Then there's intercessing. And that means to plead on another's behalf. And a lot of our prayers need to be that way. And the last one is thanksgiving. That's an expression of gratitude to God. And those are the way that we need to pray. I have a little bit of scriptures here. Philippians 4:6, it says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Notice here, by everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort therefore, first of all, I exhort therefore that, first of all, supplication, prayers, intercession, and giving of thanks, let it be made for all men. We need to pray in the Spirit. And I'm going to say something here. So we need to pray with our eyes open. Anybody think I should? Well, the Scripture says, watch and pray. And I don't really mean with your eyes open, but you do need to pray with your spiritual eyes open, because Satan's going to attack you, and that's when he's going to put thoughts into your mind, and he's going to try to stop you from going the praying to the supplication, to the intercession. If he can stop you with that, just a small little prayer, just a dutiful prayer, he will. Mark 13:33 says, take ye heed, watch and pray, for you know not when the time is. Mark 14:38, watch ye and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is willing, but the flesh is weak. And then Ephesians 6:18, which we just talked about, we need to keep on praying. We need to pray with perseverance. It means stick to it. Don't quit. You can pray. I have been praying for something for a long time. And I'm about to think, you know, the old devil will tell me, you might as well give up on that, because it's not going to happen. Not going to happen. Can't change them. Not going to happen. And then sometimes you think, well, I've prayed, and the Lord knows how I feel. Do I need to keep praying? I need to keep on praying. Because remember when I talked to you before and I said sometimes if we pray with the wrong motives, God says no. If we pray and it's not his timing, he says slow. And if we pray and there's something wrong in our heart, something we need to work on, he'll say grow. But if we pray with the right prayer, and if we pray with a pure heart, there's nothing between me and God, then we pray and he'll say, go. And it'll happen. It'll happen. So many times, I think we hang on to this, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from it. That is true. But that child, as he grows up, he has free will to depart or not. God is not keeping away from his promise. He's always saying, if you train him up, he stays in the word, he's going to know and he's going to come back. She. I'm not going to just say he. It can be she too. Okay, we are going to get done early tonight. But I got a couple things here. Just when you think of prayer, I want to write it on the board. But let's say you're going to do an acrostic. And we got prayer. P-R-A-Y-E-R. Well, the first P is praying. Or prayer. You can use prayer or praying. Either word. And then the R is going to be the word releases. And the letter A is all. Y is your. And the E is eternal. And the other R is resources. Prayer releases all your eternal resources. If we could ever comprehend the resources that we have in heaven and what we have at our disposal to use, they'd be released to us. But I don't think we understand. When we talk about the inheritance that God has for us, I don't think we truly understand what we have in him. We're positioned with him in Christ. We're righteous already. But the matter of prayer, I know it's the main thing I need to work on. I know I need to not pray with words that you hear, and And one that comes into my mind is, as we enter now into your presence, you'll hear people say that a lot. God's here. He's here. He's always with us. And a lot of people say, I don't know how to pray. I don't want to pray in front. I don't know how. Just talk. Just talk to him. And you know, I've told God lots of times, I'm mad at you right now. I'm sorry, but that you may think, well, you're not very well. But it's like, if I am, he knows. And if I've got a sin that I might not want to confess because I think I'm justified in feeling the way I do because somebody was mean to me and they, you know, and there's things there. But just talk to God. Just tell him how you feel. You don't have to have special words. You don't have to have, and some people, and you, if you get into this, first I have to tell him how wonderful he is. And we do need to. Then I have to confess my sin. Then I have to pray for other people. But, you know, you got this list that you go down through there. You got to, yes, you need to do those things. But the main thing you need to do, you need to talk to him out of your heart. Yes, tell him what you want. Yes, tell him how wonderful he is. But if you forget and say, Lord, I'm hurting, I need you. And then the end of the prayer, and you're thanking him. And then at the end of the prayer, you tell him how wonderful he is. God's not going to say, I'm not answering that prayer because they didn't do it in the order that they've been told they need to pray. So I found this little quote I was going through. I don't know who this person is. It may be a she. It was E.M. My writing's little. It was E.M. Bounds. Initials E.M. Bounds. And I was reading and I thought, this is great. It says, our praying needs to be pressed and pursued with an energy that never tires, a persistency which will not be denied, and a courage that never fails. God has promised that whatsoever you ask in my believing, he'll give it. Now, you can't take that. I want a new car and I believe it. This is something that's truly on your heart and that you need. God's not going to deny you, but we expect him to just, sure, I'll take care of that. But the prayer that's heavy on my heart, the person has to want what I want for them. Me wanting it won't make it happen. But my persistency and my pursuing the change that needs to happen in this person's life. And I'm convinced that if it never happens, it's not that God let me down. It's because of that free will that he gave us. God will not make somebody serve him. He will not make somebody live a lifestyle that would please him. He will not make them. And the thing that'll scare you sometimes, suppose they truly are saved. They've made a profession and they're saved, but their life is not exhibiting a holiness that Christ expects them to have. Have you ever read the scripture that he will turn them over to a reprobate mind for the destruction of the flesh that the soul might be saved? God had rather call someone home to him than to let them sink deeper and deeper and deeper. But they're his. They're his. And he's like, I'd love to have you out there serving me. I'd love to have you out there witnessing. I'd love to have you out there doing that. But I really rather have you here than let Satan get more of you. I didn't mean to end with that particular part. But when you have people, that you dearly love. You're fearful. You're fearful that they don't, they just can't see. Satan's got them blinded.
Mel, but can I piggyback something with your about prayer?
Yeah.
There have been times that I could not pray, and the Lord knew that I could not pray. And all I could do would be truly ask the Holy Spirit to make intercession for me, because that's what he's there for too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I believe that the Lord hears that. There are times you can't form the words out of your mouth because you're just too brokenhearted, overwhelmed, and you're not sure what direction to go because there's so many feelings. But the Holy Spirit will come in, and he knows what to tell the Lord, what you want, what you need, what you're asking for.
I have spent many a time in prayer, not so word.
Yeah.
Now you can say, how'd you do that? Well, maybe the first word, maybe I get one word out, Lord, and then you just don't know. But he's there. He's there when you've lost a loved one and you think, I can't go on without him. And you just don't see an end. That song that my husband loves so well, and I do too, it says, did I mention that I love him? And when you can't see a way, he makes a way. That's a great song. And yeah, intercession, not only do we intercede, but the Holy Spirit intercedes. Ladies, that's pretty much it. I hope y'all have enjoyed the armor. And when I got to the part at the end, when it said in the book I started on, the Bible study I started on, that got fell by the wayside a long time ago. Warren Wiersbe's jumped in here, and I've had a book. But when that one said, now that you've looked at the whole armor of God, do you see Jesus? And you do. You do. Thank you, ladies. I appreciate so much y'all coming. Be praying now for whoever God has next, because Brother Tommy said he wants to keep this going on and have different. I'm looking forward to hearing somebody else, because it's just great. But I do thank y'all. I appreciate it so much. And we're going to dismiss with prayer. Before we do, anybody have anything they want to comment and say? I appreciate Debbie saying that.